weekly active teachers, WAT, monthly active teachers, MAT, and retention. And this picture is a real picture of two of our earliest users from Clintondale High School in Detroit, Michigan. The caption says, remind co-founder Brett Koff, Clintondale Community Schools, co-principals Melanie Cargill and Dawn Sanchez, remind co-founder David Koff, 2012. And I'm very happy to say they are still proud and active Remind users today. Then I'd squeeze in a few quarterly initiatives. Migrate the databases. Build the app. Hire 4 people. I wanted everyone in the company to see just what we were doing. Working out of a 1-bedroom loft with a chronic shortage of engineers, we'd barely gotten our mobile app up and running. But John could tell that we were homed in on what mattered. Our objectives were clear and quantified, and we were teacher-obsessed from the start. In February 2014, just before we closed our Series B funding, led by Kleiner Perkins, John pitched us on OKRs. He told us about other companies using them. Intel, Google, LinkedIn, Twitter. Here was a scaffolding to keep our company focused, to guide and track and support us at every step. And I thought, why not try it? Goals for growth. That August, our back-to-school season, the Remind app exploded. More than 300,000 student and parent downloads per day. At the time, this was unheard of in the education system. We were number 3 in the Apple App Store. Before the end of the fall semester, we passed the 1 billion message mark. Our operation had to ramp up in a hurry in every department. None of our goal setting was glamorous. All of it was essential. We started OKRs when our company had 14 people. Within 2 years, we had 60. We couldn't all meet around a table anymore to hash out the next quarter's priorities. OKRs helped enormously by getting people to focus on what could move the company to the next level. If we concentrated on teacher engagement with a time-bound key result, it forced us to say no to other things. In my view, you can only do one big thing at a time really well, and you better know what that one big thing is. For example, to this day, one of our most requested features is a repeated message. Say a teacher wants to remind a fifth grade class to bring the novel they're reading to school and to get the same message to them every Monday morning without resending. That's a classic delight feature. But was it worth the engineering time to make it a top line priority? Would it move the needle and boost engagement? When the answer was no, we decided to shelve it. A tough call for a teacher-centric organization. Without OKR-inspired discipline and focus, we might not have held our ground. OKRs gave us a way to move forward that wasn't all top-down. After voting on the quarter's objectives, the leadership team went to our contributors and said, here's what we think is most important and why. And the contributors would say, okay, how do we get there? Since it was all written down, everybody knew what everyone else was doing. There was no confusion or Monday morning quarterbacking. OKRs took politics out of play. The system helped my personal focus too. I tried to limit myself to 3 or 4 individual objectives, tops. I printed them out and kept them close to my notepad and next to my computer, everywhere I went. Each morning I'd say to myself, these are my 3 buckets, and what am I going to do today to move the company forward? That's a great question for any leader, with or without a learning issue. I was wide open about my progress or lack of it. I'd tell people, here are the 3 things I'm working on, and I'm failing at this one miserably. As companies scale, it's invaluable for people to see what matters to the CEO and how they can align with you for the maximum impact. They also need to see it's okay to make mistakes and correct it and move on. You can't be afraid of screwing up. That squelches innovation. At a fast-growing startup, leaders need to keep firing themselves from jobs they did at the beginning. Like many founders, I handled accounting and payroll, which drained a lot of my time, not to mention on this thing, I was horrible at it. One of my OKRs was to offload the financial tasks to better focus on product and strategy, our big picture objectives. Meanwhile, I had to adjust to working through a layer of executives. My OKRs smoothed the transition. They kept me from backsliding or micromanaging. an OKR legacy. OKRs are basically simple, but you don't master the process off the bat. Early on, we'd be off by miles in our company-level objectives, mostly on the way too ambitious side. We might have 7 or 8 of them when we had the capacity to do, at best, 2. When John entered our lives, I was new to strategic planning. With hindsight, we probably should have eased into OKRs more slowly and not installed the whole system at once. But whatever our mistakes, I do it again in a heartbeat. OKRs helped Remind become a better managed company, a company that executes. 3 quarters after our first implementation, we secured $40 million in Series C funding. Our future was assured.
The sky's the limit for Remind. Through all its growth and changes, it has never lost sight of its core constituency, those hardworking teachers. Brett and David Kopfer, unwavering in their vision to give every student an opportunity to succeed. As Brett says, we live in a time when you can click a button and get a cab within 5 minutes. But when a child lags in school, it can take weeks or months for a parent to find out about it. Remind is on its way to solving that problem by focusing on what matters. Chapter 6 is about Commit, the Nuna story, with Jeannie Kim, the co-founder and CEO. Nuna is the story of the passionate Jeannie Kim, propelled by family tragedy to deliver better health care to huge numbers of Americans. It's the story of how she bootstrapped Nuna through years of rejection, and of how she recruited engineers and data scientists to commit to a wildly audacious goal, building a new Medicaid data platform from scratch. Alongside focus, commitment is a core element of our first superpower. In implementing OKRs, leaders must publicly commit to their objectives and stay steadfast. At Nuna, a healthcare data platform and analytics company, the co-founders overcame a false start with OKRs. They went on to clarify priorities for the entire organization. They realized that they needed to show a sustained commitment to reach their own individual OKRs and to help their team do the same. Nuna took off in 2014. 4 years and one enormous Medicaid contract later, the company is leveraging data to make the healthcare system work better for millions of people who need it most. Applying the technology and lessons learned from its Medicaid work, Nuna is helping large companies improve the efficiency and quality of care in their private plans. All of this work is supported by the goal-setting prowess of OKRs, which Jeannie first encountered as a Google product manager. So this story reflects two aspects of the commitment superpower. Once Nuna's team got the hang of them, OKRs locked in their commitment to the highest impact goals. And at the same time, both leaders and contributors learned to commit to the OKR process itself. Here's Jeannie Kim.
The story of Nuna is a very personal one. My brother Gimong was diagnosed with severe autism when he was just 2 years old. A few years later, he had his first grand mal seizure at Disneyland. 1 second he was fine, and the next he was on the floor, barely able to breathe. As Korean immigrants who spoke very little English, my parents felt helpless. The task of signing up my family for Medicaid fell on me at age 9. My family would definitely have gone bankrupt had it not been for the safety net program. When I joined Google in 2004, my first job out of college, I had no idea what OKRs were. Over time, however, I found them to be an essential compass to help me navigate my way through Google and recruit teams to get the most important work done. One of the first products I worked on was Google Health. I learned firsthand the importance of data, how important it is for improving healthcare, and how difficult it can be to access even one's own healthcare data. That experience is what helped me found Nuna. In 2010, when I left Nuna to launch my startup, we didn't use OKRs immediately. At the time, Nuna had no money and no customers. I was working full-time, 5 others part-time, including my grad student co-founder, David Chen, and no one was getting paid. We stitched together a prototype and talked to some large self-insured employers. The first year, we got zero orders, and rightfully so. We had yet to understand our customers well enough to advocate for the product we knew the market really needed. The following year, we still weren't getting any orders, but we decided to educate ourselves. I put on a suit and crashed some human resources conferences to find out what benefits directors actually cared about. I learned about the market and what meaningful innovation looks like. In 2012, those learnings helped us get some Fortune 500 companies as clients. Years of rejection, frustration, and more ramen dinners than I could count had finally led Nuna to a product market fit. But at a startup, the only constant is change, and Nuna was about to undergo a dramatic one. After I returned to the Bay Area from my six-month stint with healthcare.gov, Nuna closed $30 million of funding. We'd finally be able to pay our team and for many years to come. But at that point, I had learned of a government request for proposal to build the first ever database for all Medicaid members, 74.5 million lives in 50 states, 5 territories, and the District of Columbia. The effort had already failed multiple times. After 72 Red Bull-driven hours, we submitted our bid to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. 2 months after that, we learned we had won the contract. Growing Nuna was an enormous undertaking. We had to scale the company in three dimensions all at once. The first was the business itself, to get compliance, security, and privacy in order. The second was our data platform infrastructure. The third was our employee base, from 15 to 75 people. Nuna had to create a historic database while simultaneously running our existing employer business, and all of this had to be done within a year. To deliver, we'd need far more focus and commitment. In 2015, we made our initial try to formally implement OKRs. Even with an ex-Googler's belief in the power of objectives and key results, I underestimated what it took to introduce them, much less to implement them effectively. You need to build your goal muscle gradually, incrementally. As I have learned from executing on my private wellness OKR to run a marathon this year, doing too much too soon will definitely end in pain. Nuna created quarterly OKRs and annual OKRs, and we rolled them out to everybody from day one. We were tiny then, around 20 people, not such a big lift you might think. But the process didn't take. Some people never set their individual OKRs, others set them but stuck them in a drawer. With hindsight, I would have started with our leadership team of five. For structured goal setting to be successful, as our company learned the hard way, executives need to be deeply committed to the process. It may take a quarter or two to overcome resistance and get your managers acclimated to OKRs, to view them not as a necessary evil, but as a useful tool to fulfill your organization's top priority projects. Until and unless your executives are fully on board, you can't expect contributors to follow suit. This is especially true when the company's OKRs are challenging and aspirational, and therefore tempting to abandon. People naturally look at their boss's goals, how their bosses set them, and how they follow through. The point of the process, after all, is getting everyone on the same page. In mid-2016, we tried again, with a renewed level of OKR commitment. But even as I saw our executive team buy in, it was incumbent upon me as a leader to keep after people to participate. I would email our contributors to get them to commit to creating individual OKRs. If they didn't respond, I would Slack them. If they still didn't hear me, I would text them. And if they still didn't listen, I would grab them in the room and say, please do your OKRs. To inspire true commitment, leaders must practice what they preach. They must model the behavior they expect of others. When I shared my individual OKRs at an all-hands meeting, I was surprised by how much it helped the company rally around the process. It demonstrated that I, too, was accountable. Our contributors are free to evaluate my OKRs and tell me how to make them better, and that has made all the difference. Here is one example with my grades on the Google scale of 0.1 to 1.0 in brackets. My objective was to continue to build a world-class team. The key results were three. Number one, recruit 10 engineers. We were only able to recruit 8, so I gave myself 0.8. Number two, hire commercial sales leader. We were incredibly successful at hiring an amazing person. So I gave myself a 1.0. And finally, number three, 100% of candidates feel they had a well-organized professional experience, even if Nuna does not extend an offer. We felt that we were just okay with that, so I gave myself 0.5. I can tell you that I received a lot of constructive input in formulating the deceptively simple but critical hiring OKR. The objective was to create a healthy and productive work environment as we scaled to over 150 employees. The key results were two. Number one, 100% of Nunas have gone through performance review and feedback cycle. We actually accomplished that, so I gave myself a 1. Key result number 2. 100% of Nunas score their individual Q3 OKRs with a week of Q4. I gave myself 0.4 because I was only able to get 40% of the company to do so. We also made sure to have processes in place to professionally develop our organization, with two key results to measure our commitment. Nuna's leaders' commitment to OKRs is very public and visible. On occasion, however, the system can be useful in a more private mode. In Q4 of 2016, I set my sights on hiring a VP of our employer business, an essential step in accelerating the growth of that line. It was a new role for the company, and I was unsure how it would be perceived internally. But establishing a private OKR for which only David and I were accountable deepened my commitment to get the process moving. It pushed me to speak one-on-one to key stakeholders in the company, explore potential recruits, and finally set into motion a more formal recruitment process. By definition, startups wrestle with ambiguity. As Nuna's focus has expanded from self-insured employers to the massive Medicaid database project, to a suite of new products for health plans, we're relying on OKRs more than ever. Our entire team needs sharper focus and clearer priorities, the prerequisites for deeper commitment. OKRs have forced a bunch of conversations in the company that otherwise would not have happened. We're getting more alignment. We're acting purposefully on our plans for each quarter, not just reacting to external events. Our deadlines are stricter, but also feel more attainable. We're committed to doing what we've said we would do. What is the moral of our OKR story? As David says, you're not going to get the system just right the first time around. It's not going to be perfect the second or third times either. But don't get discouraged. Persevere. You need to adapt the system and make it your own. Commitment feeds on itself. If you stay the course with OKRs, as I know firsthand, you will reap amazing benefits. I cannot endorse the process enough. Today, with the invaluable partnership of CMS, Nuna has built a secure, flexible data platform to store private health information for more than 74 million Americans. But we aspire to do so much more. We want our platform to inform policymakers as they grapple with the challenge of governing a costly and complex healthcare system. We want it to drive analytics to help predict and prevent future ailments. Most of all, we wanted to improve the quality of healthcare. It's a daunting commitment, but as I learned at Google, the hairier the mission, the more important OKRs become. All these years later, my little brother Kimong speaks only three words, Amma, Appa, and Nuna, Korean for mom, dad, and big sister. Kimong gave our company both its name and its mission. Now it's up to us, guided by our commitment to OKRs, to improve healthcare for everyone. I'm Jeannie Kim. I'm the CEO of Nuna.
In January 2017, Nuna came out of stealth and peeled back the curtain on its Medicaid work. Interviewed by the New York Times, Andrew M. Slavitt, the acting director of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, described Nuna's cloud database as near historic, a leap from state-level computing silos to the first system-wide view across the program. In just a few short years, Nuna's team has made a lasting impact on the U.S. healthcare system. But anyone who knows Jeannie and David and the strength of their commitment to OKRs will tell you they're just getting started. Chapter 7, Superpower Number 2, align and connect for teamwork. Steve Jobs said, "We don't hire smart people to tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do." With the eruption of social media, transparency has become the default setting for our daily lives. It's the express lane to operating excellence. Yet at most companies today, goals remain secrets. Too many CEOs share the frustration of Aaron Levy, founder and CEO of Box, the enterprise cloud company. "In any given time," Aaron said, "some significant percentage of people are working on the wrong things. The challenge is knowing which ones." Transparency is the key to modern goal setting. When information is openly shared, people respond more quickly. Managers can be more effective in guiding their report's work. Individuals more easily connect to the group's top-line objectives and to one another. Of OKR's many virtues, none trumps visibility. This isn't just feel-good rhetoric. Research shows that public goals are more likely to be attained than goals held in private. Simply flipping the switch to open lifts achievement across the board. In a recent survey of 1,000 working U.S. adults, 92% said they'd be more motivated to reach their goals if colleagues could see their progress. In an OKR system, the most junior staff can look at everyone's goals, on up to the CEO. Critiques and corrections are out in public view. Contributors have carte blanche to weigh in, even on the flaws in the goal-setting process itself. Meritocracy flourishes in sunlight. When people write down, "This is what I'm working on," it's easier to see where the best ideas are coming from. Soon it's apparent that the individuals moving up are the ones doing what the company most values. Organizational poisons such as suspicion, sandbagging, and politicking lose their toxic power. If sales hates the latest marketing plan, they won't be simmering inside their silo. Their differences will be aired out in the open. OKRs make objectives objective in black and white. And transparency seeds collaboration. Say employee A is struggling to reach a quarterly objective. Because she has publicly tracked her progress, colleagues can see she needs help. They jump in, posting comments and offering support. The work improves. Equally important, work relationships are deepened, even transformed. In larger organizations, it's common to find several people unwittingly working on the same thing. By clearing a line of sight to everyone's objectives, OKRs expose redundant efforts and save time and money. The same page. Once top-line objectives are set, the real work begins. As they shift from planning to execution, managers and contributors alike tie their day-to-day activities to the organization's vision. The term for this linkage is alignment, and its value cannot be overstated. According to the Harvard Business Review, companies with highly aligned employees are more than twice as likely to be top performers. Unfortunately, alignment is rare. Studies suggest that only 7% of employees fully understand their company's business strategies and what's expected of them in order to help achieve the common goals. A lack of alignment, according to a poll of global CEOs, is the number one obstacle between strategy and execution. Quote, "We've got a lot of stuff going on," says Amelia Merrill, an HR leader at RMS, a California risk modeling agency. "We've got people in multiple offices in multiple time zones, some doing parallel work, some doing work together. And it's really hard for employees to see what they should work on first. Everything seems important. Everything seems urgent. But what really needs to get done?" The answer lies in focused, transparent OKRs. They knit each individual's work to team efforts, departmental projects, and the overall mission. As a species, we crave connection. In the workplace, we're naturally curious about what our leaders are doing and how our work weaves into theirs. OKRs are the vehicle of choice for vertical alignment. Okay, here's the grand cascade. In the bygone business world, work was strictly driven from the top. Goals were handed down the org chart from on high like tablets from Mount Sinai. Senior executives set top-line objectives for their department heads, who passed them to the next tier of management, and so on. While this approach to goal setting is no longer universal, it remains prevalent at most larger organizations. Its appeal is obvious. Cascaded goals corral lower-level employees and guarantee they're working on the company's chief concerns. In the best case, cascading forges unity. It makes plain that we're all in this together. In my pitch to Google and many other organizations, I've used an imaginary football team to show how the OKR system works effectively and not when used in this fashion. So let's talk about the Sand Hill Unicorns, a fantasy football team. And let's say I'm the general manager of the Sand Hill Unicorns, and I have one objective, the what. That is, to make money for the owner. In this example, my objective has two key results. Number one, win the Super Bowl. And number two, fill the stands to 90%. That's how I'm going to make money for the owner. The objectives are the what's, the key results are the how's. And if I fulfill both of those how's, there's no way we can fail to show a profit. So it is a well-constructed OKR. As general manager, I cascade my goal down to the next level of management, my head coach and the senior vice president of marketing. My key results become their objectives. The head coach's objective is to win the Super Bowl, and he'll get there with three key results: a passing attack of at least 300 yards per game, a defense that surrenders fewer than 17 points per game, and a top three ranking in punt return coverage. So he cascades those key results then as objectives for his top three executives, the offensive and defensive and special teams coach. They in turn devise their own lower level key results. To achieve a 300 yards per game passing attack, for example, the offensive coach might aim for a 65% pass completion rate and less than one interception per game after hiring a new quarterback's coach. Meanwhile, my SVP of marketing has derived her objective from my other key result. That's to fill the stands to 90% capacity. She has crafted three key results: upgrade the team's branding, improve our media coverage, and revitalize the in-stadium promotion program. These KRs are cascaded as objectives for the marketing director, the team publicist, and the merchandising manager, respectively. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Here's a clue. The key results from the SVP of marketing are a mess. Unlike the head coach's KRs, they're unmeasurable. They're not specific or time-bound. How do we define improvement, for example, in the team's media coverage? By five special features on ESPN, one cover spread in Sports Illustrated, 50% more followers on social media. But even if the SVP came up with stronger key results, the organization's goal-setting approach would remain deeply flawed. The top-line objective, to make a wealthy person wealthier, lacks intrinsic motivation for the general manager, much less for the team's East Coast scout or the PR intern slaving away at the copy machine. In moderation, cascading makes an operation more coherent. But when all objectives are cascaded, the process degrades into a mechanical color-by-numbers exercise with four adverse effects. First, a loss of agility. Even medium-sized companies can have six or seven reporting levels, as everyone waits for the waterfall to trickle down from above and meetings and reviews sprout like weeds. Each goal cycle can take weeks or even months to administer. Tightly cascading organizations tend to resist fast and frequent goal setting. Implementation is so cumbersome that quarterly OKRs may prove impractical. Second, a lack of flexibility. Since it takes so much effort to formulate cascaded goals, people are reluctant to revise them mid-cycle. Even minor updates burden those downstream, those who are scrambling to keep their goals aligned, and over time the system grows onerous to maintain. Third, marginalized contributors. Rigidly cascaded systems tend to shut out input from frontline employees. In a top-down ecosystem, contributors will hesitate to share goal-related concerns or promising ideas. Fourth, one-dimensional linkages. While cascading locks in vertical alignment, it's less effective in connecting peers horizontally across departmental lines. Bottoms up. Fortunately, there's an alternative. Precisely because OKRs are transparent, they can be shared without cascading them in lockstep. If it serves the larger purpose, multiple levels of hierarchy can be skipped over. Rather than laddering down from the CEO to a VP to a director to a manager, and then to the manager's reports, an objective might jump from the CEO straight to a manager, or from a director to an individual contributor. Or the company's leadership might present its OKRs to everyone at once and trust people to say, "Okay, now I see where we're going, and I'll adapt my goals to that." Considering that Google has tens of thousands of employees, its innovative culture would be hamstrung by OKRs, which are cascaded by rote. As Laszlo Bock, former head of the company's people operations, observes in Work Rules, quote, "Having goals improves performance. Spending hours cascading goals up and down the company, however, does not. We have a market-based approach where over time our goals all converge because the top OKRs are known, and everyone else's OKRs are visible. Teams that are grossly out of alignment stand out, and the few major initiatives that touch everyone are easy enough to manage directly." The antithesis of cascading might be Google's 20% time, which frees engineers to work on side projects for the equivalent of one day per week. By liberating some of the sharpest minds in captivity, Google has changed the world as we know it. In 2001, the young Paul Buchheit initiated 20% project with the codename Caribou. It's now known as Gmail, the world's leading web-based email service. To avoid compulsive soul-killing over-alignment, healthy organizations encourage some goals to emerge from the bottom up. Say the Sand Hill Unicorns physical therapist flies out to a sports medicine conference and learns of a new regimen for injury prevention. Of her own volition, she coins an off-season OKR to implement the therapy. Her objective may not align with her direct manager's OKRs, but it definitely aligns with the general manager's overarching objective. If the Unicorn's top players stay healthy through the season, the team's chances of winning the Super Bowl will soar. Or imagine that the team's marketing analyst finds data showing how star power drives attendance. He persuades the directors of marketing and media relations to coordinate their advance work for opponents with the biggest name players. They also persuade the SVP for administration to lobby the league office for a revenue-favorable schedule. Though no one directed the analyst to bark up that particular tree, it could make all the difference for the general manager's key result to fill the home stands to 90% capacity. Innovation tends to dwell less at the center of an organization than at its edges. The most powerful OKRs typically stem from insights outside the C-suite. As Andy Grove observed, people in the trenches are usually in touch with impending changes early. Salespeople understand shifting customer demands before management does. Financial analysts are the earliest to know when the fundamentals of a business change. Micromanagement is mismanagement. A healthy OKR environment strikes a balance between alignment and autonomy, common purpose and creative latitude. Peter Drucker wrote, quote, "The professional employee needs rigorous performance standards and high goals, but how he does his work should always be his responsibility and his decision." At Intel, Grove took a dim view of managerial meddling. Quote, "The subordinate will begin to take a much more restricted view of what is expected of him, showing less initiative in solving his own problems and referring them instead to his or her supervisor. The output of the organization will consequently be reduced." An optimal OKR system frees contributors to set at least some of their own objectives and most or all of their key results. People are led to stretch above and beyond to set more ambitious targets and achieve more of those they set. The higher the goals, the higher the performance. People who choose their destination will own a deeper awareness of what it takes to get there. When our how is defined by others, the goal won't engage us to the same degree. If my doctor orders me to lower my blood pressure by training for the San Francisco Marathon, I might grudgingly take it under advisement. But if I decide of my own free will to run the race, I'm far more likely to reach the finish line, especially if I'm running with friends. In business, I have found, there is rarely a single right answer. By loosening the reins and backing people to find their right answers, we help everybody win. High-functioning teams thrive on a creative tension between top-down and bottom-up goal setting, a mix of aligned and unaligned OKRs. In times of operational urgency, when simple doing takes precedence, organizations may choose to be more directive. But when the numbers are strong and a company has grown too cautious and buttoned up, a lighter touch may be just right. When leaders are attuned to the fluctuating needs of both the business and their employees, the mix of top-down and bottom-up goals generally settles at around half and half, which sounds about right to me. Cross-functional coordination. Even as modern goal setting successfully transcends the org chart, unacknowledged dependencies remain the number one cause of project slippage. The cure is lateral cross-functional connectivity, peer-to-peer and team-to-team. For innovation and advanced problem-solving, isolated individuals can never match a connected group. Product relies on engineering, marketing, on sales, and as business becomes more intricate and initiatives more complex, interdependent divisions need a tool to help them reach the finish line together. Connected companies are quicker companies. To grab a competitive advantage, both leaders and contributors need to link up horizontally, breaking any barriers in their way. A transparent OKR system, as Laszlo Bock points out, promotes exactly this sort of freewheeling collaboration. He says, people across the whole organization can poke around and see what's going on. Suddenly, you have people who are designing a handset reaching out to another team doing software because they saw an interesting thing you could do with the user interface. Or somebody selling to one account realizes, oh, we already have a marketing partnership with this account. Let's connect with the salesperson and see what we can do. When goals are public and visible to all, a team of teams can attack trouble spots wherever they surface. Adds Bock. You can look across the organization and see immediately if somebody's hitting the ball out of the park all the time. Then you investigate. If somebody's missing all the time, you investigate. Transparency creates very clear signals for everyone. You kick off virtuous cycles that reinforce your ability to actually get your work done. And the management tax is zero. It's amazing. Chapter 8 is a line, the MyFitnessPal story, with Mike Lee, its co-founder and CEO. It all started with a beach wedding. Headed into their nuptials, Mike and Amy Lee wanted to lose some weight. A fitness trainer gave them a list of nutritional values of 3,000 foods and a pad of paper for tracking calories. Mike, who'd programmed computers since the age of 10, knew there had to be a better way. So he conceived a solution which became MyFitnessPal. For 8 years, Mike and his brother Albert self-funded the app from savings and credit cards. Today, the brothers Lee are at the center of an epic movement for quantitative self-digital health and personal well-being. Their mission is to create a healthy planet. In 2013, when Kleiner Perkins invested in MyFitnessPal, the app had 45 million registered users. Today, it has more than 120 million, and they've lost a collective 300 million pounds. With a database of 14 million foods, plus real-time links to Fitbit and dozens of other apps, MyFitnessPal makes it easier than ever to track what you eat and how effectively you exercise. By revealing what used to be hidden, the calories you burn on your morning run, for example, MyFitnessPal helps users set and achieve ambitious personal goals. Members make daily choices that change their lives. And as a bonus, the app comes with a network of friends who cheer you on each day. OKRs are not islands. To the contrary, they create networks, vertical, horizontal, diagonal, to connect an organization's most vital work. So when employees align with the company's top-line goals, their impact is amplified. they stopped duplicating efforts or working counterproductively. Brothers Mike and Albert Lee discovered strong alignment is critical to day-to-day progress and making the next big leap. If this story sounds perfect for OKRs, you're not mistaken. Goal setting came organically to Mike and Albert, though not always easily, as you will see. In February 2015, their company was acquired by Under Armour for $475 million. That merger married MyFitnessPal's strength in technology to one of the industry's great brands. Suddenly, the Lees had access to world-class professional athletes, the next frontier for digital fitness. As Mike says, we want to skate to where the puck is going. But the new business structure brought new challenges for goal setting, around alignment in particular. Mike and Albert would rely on OKRs to navigate a labyrinth of internal relationships. As MyFitnessPal dove into a much larger pond, objectives and key results would align its growing team and their goals. Here's Mike Lee.
You have a device in your pocket that's incredibly powerful. The data it collects on yourself and the world around you is exploding. For a nominal cost or none at all, you can have a coach or nutritionist or even a medical consultant on hand at all times. In short, thanks to our smartphones, we can make healthier decisions and lead healthier lives. MyFitnessPal provides insights, what we call moments of clarity, that stick with our users the rest of their lives. I know firsthand that it works. When I first began tracking what I ate, I learned that a tablespoon of mayonnaise has 90 calories, while a tablespoon of mustard has 5. I haven't touched a drop of mayo since. Make enough of these small changes, and you'll find they add up. I worked for a number of companies before co-founding MyFitnessPal. None of them used real goal-setting systems. They had annual financial plans, revenue numbers to hit, and broad strategies around them, but nothing structured or continuous. Not coincidentally, these organizations had another thing in common, a glaring lack of alignment. I'd have no idea what other teams were doing or how we might work together toward a common objective. We tried to compensate with lots of meetings, which only wasted time. If you put two people in a boat and have one row east and the other row west, they'll expend lots of energy going nowhere. In our early days at MyFitnessPal, we joked that we had a 1,000-item to-do list, and we cross off the top 3 items and say, okay, that was a good year. We left a lot below the line, but that was okay. We worked within our limits. Our goal setting was rudimentary. Launch the Android app, or the BlackBerry app, or the iPhone or iPad version. We tackled one at a time and worked until it was done, and then we moved to the next item on the list. Rarely was there any overlap. Our process wasn't especially sophisticated, but it was focused and easily measurable. When you're defining the company's strategy on your own, and there's only one other person working on products, alignment is simple. We had a keystone goal to hit. Launch on the iPad by such and such a date, and we communicate each day on our progress. Small organizations can get by with less process. Though now, I wish we'd had our OKRs in gear from earlier on, even before we got funded. We would have been better prepared to make sounder choices when opportunity came our way. Once MyFitnessPal got up and running on the iPhone and Android, our growth went off the charts. One day we woke up and had 35 million registered users. We were scaling too fast to do one thing at a time anymore. In my experience, entropy starts when you have two great people working directly beneath you. You want to give each of them something big and purposeful to work on, and they both naturally want to move their piece of the project, and soon they're pulling out of alignment and charging in different directions. Before you know it, they're working on two different things. It doesn't help to push them harder. If two nails are even slightly misaligned, a good hammer will splay them sideways. Though Albert and I knew we needed more structured goal setting, we weren't certain how to proceed. In 2013, not long after Kleiner Perkins first invested in our company, John Doerr came by to pitch us on OKRs. His football team analogy resonated with me. I just got it. I loved the simplicity of the main objective and the way it was distilled and stretched and cascaded throughout the organization. And I thought to myself, that was how we'd get our company aligned. Cross-team integration. When we actually began to implement OKRs, it was harder than anticipated. We didn't appreciate how much thought it took to create the right company objectives and then to cascade them down to drive contributors' behavior. We found it challenging to strike a balance between high-level strategic thinking and more granular, directive communication. Once we had our Series A funding and had scaled up our leadership team, our realm of the possible expanded. To push for accountability, we set one big, dedicated goal for each leader. We created company OKRs for our people instead of matching our people to essential OKRs. We had it backward. Some objectives were too narrow, others too nebulous. If an HR manager got stuck trying to connect to our high-level OKRs for product or revenue, we'd add a company objective just for that person. Soon we had a cornucopia of company OKRs. But what really mattered at MyFitnessPal? We lost the forest for the trees. In 2013, as we expanded from 10 to 30 people, I assumed we'd become 200% more productive. But I had underestimated how much scaling slows you down. When you onboard new engineers, they need extensive training to become as proficient as your holdovers. And with multiple engineers developing the same project, we had to build new processes to keep them from overriding one another. In the transition, productivity suffered. When you get down to it, alignment is simply about helping people understand what you want them to do. Most contributors will be motivated to ladder up to your company OKRs, but only if they know where to set the ladder. As our team grew larger and our communication more layered, we faced a new set of issues. Of our three product managers, one was working on Premium, the enhanced subscription version of our app. Another focused on our API platform to enable third parties like Fitbit to connect to our app and write data to it or applications on top of it. The third addressed our core login experience. All three had individual OKRs for what they aimed to accomplish. So far, so good. The problem was our shared engineering team, which got caught in the middle. The engineers weren't aligned with the product manager's objectives. They had their own OKRs to maintain our infrastructure and keep the plumbing going and the lights on. We wrongly assumed they could do it all. They got confused about what they should be working on, which changed from day to day. Sometimes it boiled down simply to which product manager yelled loudest. The engineers found themselves switching between projects from week to week, another drag on efficiency. When they returned to a product after an interruption, they'd have to ask themselves, how does this go again? The premium work was particularly critical for revenue, yet it went in fits and starts. I felt super frustrated. We'd hired all these talented people and were spending a lot more money, but we weren't going any faster. Things came to a head over a top priority marketing OKR, personalized emails with targeted content. The objective was quantitatively well constructed. The idea was to drive a certain number of monthly active users to our blog. One important key result was to increase our click-through rate from the emails. The catch was that no one in marketing had talked to engineering, which had its own priorities that quarter. Without buy-in from the engineers, the OKR was doomed from the start. Even worse, we didn't learn it was doomed until our quarterly postmortem, when we diagnosed why marketing had missed its deadline. The project did get done, but a quarter late. That was our wake-up call, when we saw our need for greater alignment between teams. Our OKRs were decently crafted, but we weren't implementing them correctly. When one department relied on another for crucial support, we failed to make the dependency explicit. Coordination suffered, as did our deadlines. We had plenty of objectives and key results, but our teams kept wandering away from each other. Starting in 2014, we tried to fix the problem with regular integration meetings for the executive team. Each quarter, our department heads presented their goals and identified dependencies. No one left the room until we'd answer some basic questions. Are we meeting everyone's needs for buy-in? Is a team overstretched? If so, how can their objectives be made more realistic? Alignment doesn't equal redundancy. At MyFitnessPal, we like every OKR to have a single owner, with other teams linking up as needed. In my experience, co-ownership undermines accountability. If an OKR fails, I don't want two people blaming each other. Even when two or more teams have parallel objectives, their key results should be distinct. Each time we went through the OKR process, we did a little better. Our objectives got more precise, our key results more measurable, our achievement rate higher. It took us two or three quarters to really get the hang of it, especially for product features that were key to a broad objective. It's hard to predict the market for something conceptually new, and we'd either wildly beat our metric or wildly miss. So we switched it up. We began pinning our key results to deadlines instead of revenue or projected users. Example, launch MFP Premium by May 1st, 2015. After a feature launched and some real data came back, we'd be in a stronger position to assess its impact and potential. Then our next round of OKRs could be more realistically keyed or stretched to outputs. We'd get concerned when our team shied away from big bets and chose lower risk key results, like sending emails here or push notifications there. The more ambitious the stretch and the objective, the more conservative people would get in their KRs, a classic unintended consequence. So we learned to design our goals to fit the context. When appropriate, we aim for the incremental. But there were also times when we told the team, don't worry about monthly active user impact on this one. Just build the best feature you can. We want you to swing for the fences. Unacknowledged dependencies writ larger. Going with Under Armour meant adapting to a company with a different mode of goal setting. I suddenly had a boss to align with and a newly formed division to run, UA Connected Fitness North America, a unit created to leverage new and emerging digital technologies to improve fitness and performance. I had three additional apps to coordinate, each with a different culture and working style. At scale, the complexity around alignment grows exponentially. How would we show 400 people what we were trying to achieve to enable them to align with us and with each other? How could we get everybody rowing in the same direction to contribute their efforts and ideas most productively? In the beginning, I found it really hard to do. I can hardly imagine how Amazon or Apple manages. Fortunately, we were able to introduce OKRs throughout our division, and that helped a lot. But Connected Fitness also had a range of stakeholders across Under Armour. A few weeks after our acquisition, my boss called an off-site leadership meeting for 20 people. Under Armour followed an annual cadence, and department heads were asked to present what they wanted to achieve that year. At MyFitnessPal, we were accustomed to investing ample time to frame our objectives the right way, so our group was ready. As the meeting unfolded, Albert and I discovered that the e-commerce team was counting on us to drive significant traffic from our apps. The data team assumed we'd deliver a massive data. The media sales team had marked us down for a specific dollar amount in new ad revenues. All three had preconceived notions of what they could expect from us, with no visibility into what other teams were asking. Nor could anyone see how their targets might align with our own growth objectives, much less the bigger company picture. It was the same problem we'd had with unacknowledged dependencies inside MyFitnessPal. There was just no way we could get all of these things done. It took 18 months to straighten out our alignment, and we couldn't have done it without OKRs. First, we had to define our capacity constraints for developing new software. Then we had to specify our core priorities. By revealing our division's high-level OKRs, I could better explain why certain projects had to take as long as they did and where we needed to double down on the company's top goals. This is the process we use, I said, and I'm showing you our objectives and key results. You need to let me know if you see anything missing or if you think we're working on the wrong things. It was strictly one-way transparency, and I felt a little nervous going in, but it worked. People began to understand our limits and to adjust their expectations accordingly. For our part, we did our best to align with them by finding projects that met cross-departmental objectives. In a typical app development operation, you might launch one major feature a quarter. That means you have four shots a year to make a significant business impact, so you need to choose wisely. When MyFitnessPal was a young company and an opportunity arose to build a new feature, we might say on the spur, "Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Let's do it." We didn't weigh what the choice would cost us or whether we had the wherewithal to bring it to fruition. Many of those projects were stillborn, a painful waste of hundreds of hours of work. For example, a big insurance company approached us to build an interface for their wellness coaches to interact with clients through MyFitnessPal. The project aligned perfectly with our North Star mission, and we were excited about its potential. We created the interface and ran a pilot that more than satisfied our partner. But then it became apparent that their timeline for a full-scale rollout measured in years, not months. We couldn't afford to invest that much time and continued effort and wound up parting ways. When Albert took hold of our division's MapMyFitness product team, the first thing he did was examine the roadmap and say, "We need to cut half of this, right? We need to strip it down to the things that really matter. Now we evaluate product features the MyFitnessPal way. If we take this one off the roadmap this quarter, what happens? would it really affect the user experience? More often than not, the proposed feature wouldn't have a big impact. These are not subjective calls. We have metrics to measure impact. We're making tougher, sharper choices about where to place our bets these days, and it all stems from the OKR process. Focus and alignment are interdependent. In May 2015, 3 months after our acquisition, our premium subscription version finally launched. It couldn't happen until we openly admitted, look, we can't get all of these things done. We have to choose. We made it clear to the company that premium was our number one objective and all else had to be subservient to it. We're still a work in progress. Not long after we came to Under Armour, two of our four apps implemented maps inside their run tracking functions. Because they neglected to collaborate in development, they built their maps in basically different ways, even used different mapping providers. Beyond the obvious inefficiency, our customers had an inconsistent experience. To their credit, the two teams devised a monthly check-in to avoid similar mishaps in the future. Shortly thereafter, we implemented OKRs throughout the division. Now we're all on the same page. Everyone knows our division's top priorities, which gives them freedom to say no to other things. North Star alignment. Though our startup days are behind us, and MyFitnessPal is now part of a much bigger company, we still have ambitious objectives. We still stand by our OKR values of transparency and accountability. We publish our division's objectives on a wiki that anyone in the company can see. We discuss them at weekly all-hands meetings. In the fourth quarter of 2016, at our off-site retreat, I demonstrated our OKR process to the larger leadership group, and they loved it. They just ate it up. Best off-site we've ever had, one executive said. OKRs have become the operational foundation for the Connected Fitness team. My hope is to spread them by example throughout Under Armour. The larger the organization, the more value the process offers. Alignment makes objectives more consistent within a company, but it also contains a deeper meaning. It's about keeping your goals true to your culture and your North Star values. Our mission is now aligned with Under Armour's, to make all athletes better. But throughout Connected Fitness, we still live by the old MyFitnessPal mantra. When our customers succeed at reaching their health and fitness goals, we succeed as a company. As a team, we're still posing the same question. Will this feature or this partnership help customers succeed? After all, it's our users who do the hard work to make changes in their lives. Like the woman who told us about rising from her chair without using her hands for the first time in 20 years, a poignant moment of clarity for her. To the extent we've succeeded as a company, it's because we help provide those moments. Whenever possible, we spell this out in our high-level objectives, as you can hear in the following OKR from a few years back. Objective: help more people around the world. Key results. Number 1, add 27 million new users in 2014. Number 2, reach 80 million total registered users. Every decision we make needs to reinforce our vision. When we run into a potential trade-off between our customers and a business goal, we align with the customer. Our transparency helps us walk the walk for everyone to see. If an objective seems out of line with our mantra, we give it extra scrutiny. We make sure it lines up with our North Star. That's what keeps us connected with the people we serve. That's what makes us who we are. Mike Lee, I'm the CEO and co-founder of MyFitnessPal, and I'm now the Chief Digital Officer at Under Armour.
Chapter 9 is about connecting, the Intuit story. With Atticus Tyson, Chief Information Officer. Intuit has made Fortune's prestigious list of the world's most admired companies for 14 years running. The firm made its first splash in the 1980s with Quicken, which brought personal finance to the desktop computer and became a household name. Then came tax preparation software, TurboTax, and a desktop accounting program, QuickBooks, which eventually moved online. Over its long history, by tech standards, Intuit has survived one competitive threat after the next by staying a step ahead. Most recently, it sold Quicken and reconstructed QuickBooks Online as an open platform. Subscriptions soared by 49%. UBS analyst Brent Hill told the New York Times, quote, whenever Intuit makes a wrong turn, they quickly get off the gravel and back onto the blacktop. That's why the company has done so well for such a long time. People can't connect with what they cannot see. Networks can't blossom in silos. By definition, OKRs are open and visible to all parts of an organization, to each level